It's the final plague of Egypt, and right in the middle of this plague, God lays out this one truth. Nobody is exempt from this plague, even the nation of Israel, who had been exempt from all the other plagues. Why? What is so special about this plague that even Israel has to cover itself? Well, that is what we're discussing today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Welcome to the program. Join us. Won't you grab your Bible? We're in Exodus chapter 12, looking at verses 1 through 28, the Passover of God. This has lasted thousands of years. Because sin is an everlasting issue, Christ has dealt an everlasting blow to it all, and the Passover is the key to everything. Please join us. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon, today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
After 4 days of care, of this gentle, spotless, without blemish, male lamb, they would bring it out, and the father would take it, and it would hold it, hold back its neck, and at twilight or dusk, as it's there becoming that, the throat would be split, and the family would all watch a very probably disturbing ceremony as blood would pour out all over the white fur. The fur of the lamb. It was messy. And then they were to take hyssop, and they were to, Moses says, you take that, you dip the hyssop in the blood. Hyssop was a small plant with stalks so that it kind of functioned like a brush, and it prevented the blood from coagulating. So they were to paint the whole door frame of their house, all the way around the door frame of the house. The experience wasn't so pleasant. There were other things associated with this. They were to eat it all, and then they were, as they ate, you notice in verse 8 that they were to take bitter herbs. This was to be bitter. The bitter herbs really provided a sense of feeling, tasting the bitterness of the whole thing. And then anything that wasn't eaten was taken outside and consumed by fire. Closely tied and woven into this, you'll notice, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread went together. They ran together in this week-long celebration. You'll notice that emphasis there on the time. On the 14th day of the month, they would celebrate the Passover, but all the leaven had to be taken. All the leaven had to be removed out of their houses. And before they would do that, and it says in verse 15 very clearly, if anyone has any leaven or eats any leaven, they are cut off. So from the 14th day to the 21st day, they would celebrate what was known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leaven was associated with the previous year's harvest, so it became a symbol of corruption. You notice in verse 17, of chapter 12, that, and you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day, 14th, I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever, an everlasting ordinance. Imagery you have is, they were eating the Passover and unleavened bread. You'll notice there with a belt on their waist, with sandals on their feet, with staff in their hand, and they're up. They're standing. Doesn't sound like the most comfortable meal, does it? What did all this mean? Let's get to the meaning. This is to be, says the Lord, your new beginning. This is your new beginning, with the intention that at the end, when the children would come and they would ask mom and dad, what are you doing with our family lamb? What are you doing, mom and dad? Why are you guys killing our pet lamb? Verse 27, they were to be taught, this is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord. And they were to explain what it means. And here it is. On the day of our deliverance, the Lord instructed us to do this, to take this blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts of our houses, on all the sides. And children, here's what happened that night. The angel destroyer, he came through the camp. And anyone who did not have the blood on their doorposts, he entered their houses and he killed the firstborn. But when the Lord saw the blood, he passed over us. It was a propitiation. This satisfied God's justice. It turned away his anger. It was a covering for us, children. The Lord wanted this to be practiced every single year to teach them that the only way anyone escaped was the blood of a lamb, without spot, without blemish, year after year after year. Now, this wasn't the first time the Bible taught us this. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve had sinned, the first thing that Adam tried to do was to cover his shame with his own fig leaves, sewing together his own garments, and God had nothing to do with that. Remember what God did. God taught us the clear principle there. God covered him with skins. God had shed the blood of an animal to do that. Without blood, there is no remission. When God had cut the covenant with Abraham, you remember, there were the two rows, and the animals were split apart, and there was a bloody, nasty mess, and the Lord passed through that. Abraham understood this. The cutting of the covenant of grace, came in blood. Later, Abraham saw this visually when God said, "You take your son, your only son whom you love, and you go up Mount Moriah," which was later the temple spot. "You go up Mount Moriah. You go up there and you sacrifice your son." And so Abraham takes his son and he puts wood on his back and they walk up the mountain. Fire is in his hand and a knife. And he lays his only son on the altar, raises the knife, and then God says, "No, Abraham, here's a ram." God had been teaching this. God had been showing this. What did God intend? Verse 13, he wanted Israel to know that this blood was a sign for you on the houses. This blood was a sign of assurance for you that death will pass over you. That this judgment will not fall on you and you'll be brought out. God was assuring them as they partook in faith, they had a covering, they had a substitute. Death was looming over them, but the blood covered. The Lord wanted them never to forget this. And so what did he do? He didn't make the experience so sweet. He wanted it bitter. So he instructed them to add bitter herbs in the meal. They would have understood why. Exodus 1 had been using that word. Exodus 1 had been telling us about that. That all of their time in Egypt was made bitter. It was bitter bondage in Egypt. In brick and mortar and all kinds of work. And the feast reminded them of God's deliverance from the bitterness. That wasn't it. What doesn't get as much attention is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Coinciding with the Passover, this week-long feast was to be observed. And God said, "I want you standing up." They're standing up ready to go. You put it together, they were delivered from the physical bondage, but notice what the Lord was teaching them. The bread without yeast was teaching them of this nature of the flight. He tells them that. Why unleavened bread? God was telling them, "I'm pulling you out once and for all so quickly, you don't even have time to let the bread rise." In other words, they didn't have time to let the dough rise with the leaven. You leave it behind. You're done with it. Once their deliverance came with the shedding of blood, they were immediately to go out of Egypt. They were not to touch the old leaven. Anything associated, leaven was always associated with the previous year's harvest. Anything that associated with the past, they were done. Are you getting the whole story? Every time they celebrated the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, coinciding on the 14th day, they were taught that as the blood was shed, death had passed over them, the curse of Genesis had been reversed, and they were covered with a brand new beginning. And the old leaven of their old life was done. That was the message. They weren't to touch Egyptian life again. They were free from Egyptian life. What is this about? The gospel? The Passover always taught them that on the night that God delivered them, the reason they were delivered is because a perfect lamb substituted in their place. The bitter herbs told them your past was awful. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, a number of perfection was celebrated to remind them that what God expected because of the sacrificial offering of the lamb that he provided since they've been saved, they were to come out of Egypt with haste. Moving. Up. Ready to go. You're done with the old life. It's a new beginning. He expected them to be holy to him, set apart to him, freed from the power and dominion of the slavery that had dominated them for 400 years. Dominion in that. Every year I want that celebrated. I want you to teach your children about this. I want you to tell them about this. That they needed a perfect lamb to escape. Teach them how bitter the bondage was. When they eat those herbs in the future, you tell them when they go, ooh, that tastes terrible. That was what our bondage was awful. And when they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they would tell their children, we were caught up in darkness and idolatry in that land. We worshiped those gods on the other side of the river. Joshua would later say that they were involved in this. And when we were brought out, we were called to leave all that behind. We were called to be done with the past, be done with the things to which we're now ashamed. And come out. Don't handle, don't teach, don't touch those things. I want these, says the Lord, to be memorials and lasting ordinances for you. What does all this really tell us tonight? The story of the cross. You come to the New Testament, and how is Christ presented right out of the gates? John's gospel was so clear that he was the lamb without spot. Remember what happened in John 1? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Peter would describe him, no deceit was found in his mouth. He committed no sin. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile, committed himself to him who judges righteously, who bore our sins in his body on the wood, on the cross, that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. You're out. By whose stripes you were healed. The Lamb came and the Lamb dwelt among us and he tabernacled among us, the very word. Tempted in every way that we were, yet without sin. Hebrews says, offering himself unblemished to God. When was the Passover celebrated? Nisan, in about the 14th of the month. You come to the Gospels, and what was going on as Jesus was heading to the cross? The Passover. At that time, the week, about 10th, the 10th of the day, there came the sacrificial lamb right on into Jerusalem. And Jesus makes his triumphal entry into the city. Josephus records at that time 256,000 lambs were being brought into the temple courts. 256,000. Blood was everywhere. On the 14th day of the month, fathers everywhere in Israel were grabbing their lambs in front of their children and holding back the necks and slitting the throats and offering them that blood could never forgive. It was a sign of the reality of the greater blood that could forgive. So what happened? Matthew 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to them, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? There's the Lamb of God. He says, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I'll keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12 at 14th of Nisan, twilight. Sits down to celebrate this. That time Judas is betraying. Verse 26, as they were eating of Matthew 26, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. He then took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. In the midst of the celebration of the Passover, he holds up bread and wine and says, this is me, as he institutes the supper. In the heart of all of this, and he holds it up, the bread and the wine. This is my body. This is my blood. Every Passover had wine and unleavened bread. Jesus held up the bread and the wine and declared, I am the Lamb. I'm the Lamb. I take away the sins. Christ's body and blood here now had him shedding it, fulfilled everything of the old and brought in the new, and the supper would become the sign of the blood of him shedding his blood on the wood for us. It means that not only is Christ's blood the blood that pacifies and satisfies, propitiates the wrath of God. And that's the sign of the bread and wine, what it tells us every time we partake. It's for you. It's for you. As the Passover that day was being celebrated, on the 14th day, they laid their hands on him, that perfect, innocent, pure lamb without spot, beaten, split open, tormented, all because of our sins. And as that blood was shed on that wood, all of that was an announcement that Christ has forgiven us and that we escape the angel of death. What an amazing message that puts it all together. He knows we need the supper, I say, by the way. That's what we're doing. We're in communion with him and declaring that this has been accomplished now. We're not in types and shadows. You enjoy the fulfillment. He's come. And this is why the apostles throughout wanted to tell the New Testament church, Christ is your Passover. The original Passover was to be the brand new beginning in their lives. Enjoying forgiveness and peace with God. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread coinciding was to always remind them that they had been brought out of the land of Egypt. Their old life of leaven and idolatry was over. How does Paul apply that in 1 Corinthians? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. Who's unleavened? You. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Don't look back, is his message. This is what he's done for you. Lead the life that he's set you free now in. You're no longer tied and bound up with the leaven of malice and wickedness, of doing things against God's law, living against them, being brought under bondage of the elements and corruption of the sinful nature, living in idolatry and darkness. You've been brought out in haste. The Lord had you standing up when the cross, and he said, it's finished, and you trusted in Christ as your righteousness, you're free. No more to go back. No more to continue that. And now the feast you celebrate is the feast of unleavened bread in what? Sincerity and truth as you live. Leave behind your gods. That's the message tonight as we see the whole story beginning to come together as the Lord delivered them. And this is why Jesus always gave that solemn call, come today. Come today to me. Believe in me. Let this be the day of new beginning. You will be freed from the bondage of corruption and sin. Come out and be separate. This day, says the Lord, is the new beginning for you. That's Exodus chapter 12. As they are going to watch this terrible judgment fall on the land of Egypt, not one of Israel's children will be cast down. That's the gospel. That's what we celebrate. That's what the Lord has done for us. And believing these promises, this is what God desires, that we come out to Him. They're going out into the wilderness to worship. We should come out to Him. Our whole lives should be separate as we become worshipers in spirit and in truth. Let's thank Him together tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for teaching us and instructing us in these things and for showing us the whole story. We look at what they celebrated and what they were taught to look forward to, as all of this taught them the blood of the Son You would send in the fullness of time. And they looked forward to these gospel promises, believing Your gospel promises, and all the prophets longed to see what we see. And tonight we get to enjoy these blessings and understanding Your word in fulfillment, knowing that Christ has come. Christ is forgiven. Christ is our Passover. We will escape death through faith in Him. I pray if there are none who believe in Him tonight, they would come this night, that it would be a day of new beginning for them, and that they would leave behind the past leaven of sin, malice and wickedness and idolatry, and come out to You and be a separate people, worshiping and enjoying our God. We praise You tonight and today for instructing us in Your wonderful word. Guide us now as we go out into another week, and let us live as those who have been saved from death and belong to our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our time together today found in Exodus, our series called The Plagues. To obtain a copy of today's program or the entire set, we would invite you to call or write to us here at Abounding Grace. 888-504-8805 is our number. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Another the way to reach out to us, also learn a bit more about us and who we are, would be through our website, agradio.org. Abounding Grace is also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and links to those sites are, again, at our website, agradio.org. You'll also find recent blogs, vlogs, and other information, as well as past programs, all housed at agradio.org. As we close out our time together today, we also would like to let you know that we do have a special running throughout the series here on the plagues, How to Pray. Have you ever found yourself challenged about your prayer life, wish it could be more than it is? Well, recently, Pastor Chris has gone through a series called How to Pray. It's an amazing series that we are making available on a thumb drive. That's right, a thumb drive for a gift of $15 or more, we'll send this thumb drive your way. It contains all of the messages in this series. Again, on a convenient thumb drive that you can place into just about any device that will take an MP3. Again, for a gift of $15 or more, when you reach out to us, we'll send you this wonderful resource on prayer. Reach out to us again at 888-504-8805 or by writing to us, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264, or drop us an email when you visit us online at agradio.org. Tomorrow, our look at the 10th plague continues here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.